Today's share in the Daf Yomi begins Masechta Nedarim. Masechta Nedarim is a very beautiful Masechta. It deals with, obviously, vows of a certain nature, and we'll learn about that in this Masechta. And we have a number of interesting things with this Masechta that are a little bit different than with many of the other Masechtas we've done. Number one, the Pirish, referred to as Rashi in this Masechta, in the normal place where Rashi is, according to almost all, not really Rashi's Pirish. And it's referred to usually as the parish known as the Mefarish. And when we use this parish a lot, well, we go through the Masechta, but the primary parish on this Masechta is actually the Ran. And that's found where Tosos is normally found. And the Ran has written an extremely detailed parish with huge shakal vitarias and tremendous explanations and in a very voluminous manner on this Masechta. There'll be some dapin that are almost all Ran and very little Gemara. As you can see almost from the very first daf here, there's only six lines of Gemara, and it's all Mishnah on the first page, and most of the daf is filled in with the Ran. We also have the Rosh on the daf, and we'll refer to that quite a bit, as well as Tosos on the daf, and we'll refer to that quite a bit as well. So we look forward to Mitzvah Hashem learning this Masechta together, and we begin with the very first Amud, Beis Amud Aleph, with the Mishnah. And we'll have a little introduction once we start reading the Mishnah by looking at some of the words of these Mefarshim that I just mentioned. So the Mishnah starts and tells us, Kol kinuye nedarim kinedarim. So whenever you have a kinuy is a nickname, so to say, a word that is like the original word, as we find in the Pirush HaRash, he says, Kol she'eino ikar Hashem, Nikro kinoi. If it's not the actual name, so then it's a kinoi, it's a nickname that is similar to the actual name, the Iker name. Now, what are we talking about over here? So let's look at the Pirish that I refer to as the Mefarish, which you see is Rashi. And you can see the Beis there, which is brought down in the Hagos and Siyunim. He brings down from the Rabbeinu Betzalel Ashkenazi, who's the author of the Shita Mekubetzes, who writes, Da Pirush Shebedufus Eino Mipi Rashi Zal. So this, we're going to call the Mefarish. And in this first Mefarish, he writes, The Ikra Neder Dechsiba Torah, we find in the Torah describing Nedarim, it says, Ish Ki Dor Neder. What does that mean? A person says, when he makes a neder, the Omar, he says, Karbon Shani Ochel Loch. So if I were to eat this from you, it would have the status of a carbon. And of course, you can't eat a carbon. So therefore, in this situation, he's asserting the item on himself. So one of the things that we'll see is that when you're making a neder on something, you're basically saying it should be like a carbon. It should be like something that is osur. And therefore, in this way, the item, which would otherwise be heter gomer, now becomes osur as if it was a carbon. So carbon is the ikar lashon. If you were to say, this should be to me like a carbon, and therefore it becomes osur to you with a neder. Or he says, O carbon, shani nene loch. He says, it should be like a carbon if I were to get hana from it. Now, if he says the actual lashon of carbon, that's the ikar lashon. But if he says, v'imamah b'lashon acher b'kinoi, if he were to use a word that is like a nickname or that sounds like carbon, as we'll learn in the Masechta, for example, he says, koneim shani nene, it should be a koneim, which is a kinoi, a nickname, so to say, for carbon. So then in this situation, the word koneim would be what we refer to always here as a kinui for a neder. It is like saying the word carbon, but for various reasons that we'll learn in the Masechta, we don't say carbon, they would say koneim. And we see in the first Ran as well, he says, neder hu bi echod mishnein yonim. You can make a neder on two ways. Im nidre hekdish, for example, if you say something should be like hekdish, shu makdish lebedek habayis, olam izbeach, if a person were to be makdish something to either be a carbon or to be used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, or be'inyan ze'en yochel lahakdish elama shehu shelo. So the Ran points out that you can only be makdish something that belongs to you. You can say, my goat should become hekdish, my table should become hekdish. And then that iser visuro kola kolodim. That now is also to everybody. The goat now belongs to hekdish. Nobody else can take that goat. If they do, they're going to be over me'ila possibly. If somebody else would take that table, so they would be stealing from the gizbar. They would be stealing from hekdish. So I have the right to take my item, my object and make it an issa to everybody else. Alternatively, the Ran says, Inidre iser sha'asar al atzmo duvarim hamutarim. Or I say that this item, which doesn't belong to me, should be asr to me. Ubinyan zeh yochel esar afilu nichse chaveiro. So I can't make your table hektish, I can't make your goat hektish, but I could say your goat or your table should be to me as if it was a korban. And in this situation, the iser would only be for me, it wouldn't be for anybody else. Ein isuro shovel akol. So these are some basic ideas as to what this initial Mishnah is talking about. And let's go back again and read. Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. If you use an expression that's like karban, for example, you say koneim, or any of the other similar words that the Gemara will explain are kinuyim for karban. So then any one of these kinuyim, any one of these words that is sounding like or similar to the word karban, so then these have the effect of being a neder, just like a real neder where the person says, this should be a carbon to me. It should be treated as if it was a carbon to me. Likewise, the Mishnah says, v'chareimim kichareimim. If a person has any of the kinuyim for the lashon of cherem, so then it will become a cherem as well. You don't have to just say, this should be like a cherem to me, but even if you say it should be one of the expressions that's like cherem, which again, the Gemara will discuss exactly what some of those expressions are, but basically, if you were to use, and you see in the Ran, in Dibra Masav, cheremim kecheremim, klomar, shomer nechosim elu, olav cherek, or cherech. So all of these are expressions that are kinuyim of the word cherem. A cherem can be one of two things. A cherem can either be a cherem for belonging to Bedek HaBayis. I make this to be a cherem, it belongs to Bedek HaBayis. Or there's something called the cherem for the Kohanim. I'm dedicating this to the Kohanim. Now there are differences in this aspect, and you can see this in the Pirush Rosh, where he says, cheremim ki cheremim. So he says, Adam shehichrim nechosim. If a person made his nechosim into a cherem, oh miktsasim, or part of them, and he says, Omar harei zeh cherem. He says these should be elu cherem. So then they become a cherem. Now v'trei gavnei cheremim ninu. There are two types of cherem, as I pointed out. You can have cherem gavoa, the cherem kohanim. There are those that have the status of being hektish, and that's cherem ligavoa, so that has the status of Bedek HaBayis, and then you have cherme kohanim, which have the status of belonging to the kohanim. Now, cherme gavoa lebedek HaBayis, so that is something that you can have me'ila on, umo'alim behen, the eshlem pedia, and there are also things that can be redeemed from hektish. As opposed to, if you make something to cherme kohanim, eshlem pedia, there is no redemption, elo, nitanim lekohanim. They're a present that's given to the kohen. V'achlo bo lidei kohanim. But until it goes actually into the hands of the kohanim, molim bem. There is also a din of mila at that as well. However, mishabal liyat kohen harem kechulin. Once the kohen has it, so now it becomes like chulin lechol divrayim, and you wouldn't have a din of mila on it. In any event, if you were to say a lashon of similar to cherem, a kinoi, for example, as the Rosh and the Ran give examples, cherek or cherech. So if you were to use that lashon, a kinuy of cherem, so it would have the same status as you said, this should be a cherem to me. And likewise, a kinuy of shavuos, the Mishnah continues, is kishavuos. If you use a lashon of a shavua, and you use a kinuy for that, so then it would have the same status as if you made a shavua. Now a major difference between a neder and a shavua is a neder goes on an object, whereas a shvua can go on even something that's not a physical object. A classical example of this would be that a neder, I said that this should be like a carbon to me, so it has to be a physical object. Whereas something such as eating or sleeping or drinking, so you can make a shvua about that, whereas you can't make a neder about that, because that's a concept as opposed to a physical object. And we'll learn more about this in the Masechta as well. And of course, everybody's familiar, there's a whole separate Masechta called Shavuos, which has nothing to do with the holiday of Shavuos, it just deals with swearing and all the laws of Shavuos. So we're not going to obviously discuss that in great detail in this Masechta, but we're certainly referring to it on a regular basis. Amir Tzashem. A couple of years when we get in the Daf Yomi to Shavuos, we'll learn those dinim in much more greater detail. And then finally, the fourth category, we had Nedarim, Chareimim, Shavuos, and now Unaziros. So the Kinuyim of Naziros have the status of being kineziros as well. And again, Lagos and Siyurim and Os Aleph, he tells us that this word should be pronounced in this fashion as Niziros. Some have the girsa Nizirios, which it's talking about in the plural form, as opposed to Nizirus is in the singular form. So, in any event, he's telling us here, if a person accepts upon himself to be a Nazir, and he uses it in a kinui of Nazir, so then it's Chal as well. So the Mishnah starts off and tells us these four kinuyim all have the same status as the actual ikar itself. So for both a neder, a cherim, a shvua, or naziris, so the kinuyim of those words take effect as if you would say the actual ikar word itself. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Omer l'chavero, if a person would say to his friend, Mudrani mimcha, I in fact have made myself essentially to be like a neder to you. In other words, with the neder, I'm osur to you. Or mufrishani mimcha, or I'm mufrish, I'm separate from you. Or miruchakani mimcha, I am rachok from you, I am far away from you, I'm distance from you. So all of these are valid lashonos. If he then adds the word shani ochel loch, shani toim loch, so if he then says that I will be either mudrani or mufshani or miruchkani, in what way? In what way will I be having a nether on you, or being mufresh from you, separated from you, or being rachok from you, that I will not eat from you? Shani ochalucha. So in other words, if I were to eat from you, so then that food has the status of being like a nether. In other words, I can't have it, or that even I'll taste from it. Shani tonloch, so osur. So these items in this situation do in fact become osur to the person. And you can see it in the Mefarish, in the Ramasul, Mudrani Mimcha, Klomar. It says the person said, Harei olai kineder mashini ne nimcha. It should be upon me a neder that I can't get hanah from something that is belonging to you. Mashini ne nimcha, that I would get benefit from you. Or, and now the Bach just switches around the Lashon over here a little bit, and he says, Bahai Lashon, if he were to say, Mufrushani mimcha, the same thing would apply if he says, I should be separated from you in regards to eating or tasting. I'm distanced from you. In each of these situations, the mashma, the mitzar nafshe, he's asering himself below mishani mine, that he will not get hanah from this other person. So Reuven is saying this, and he's saying, I won't get hanah from Shimon. B'chol hani, kivon delo mifarish mamish l'neder. He doesn't mention specifically it's a neder over here. Delo mitkar bei shum loshum carbon. He doesn't say it should be like a carbon to me. So therefore, this is what we refer to as havyon yodos. So this is what's called a handle. A yad literally means a handle. And what this is essentially saying, and you can see this in the Pirush HaRosh, in Dira Maschol HaOmel Chaveru Mudrani Mimcha, Kol hani mikru yodos. These are all referenced over here as a yad. A yad is a handle. Kamo base yad b'kli, just like the handle on a utensil. Sheno ikar kli, that's not the essential part of the kli. However, va'ocheis bo, if you're holding on to it, hakli ola imo. The handle is attached to the kli. So if I pick up the handle, I get the whole kli. And therefore, that's what these yodos are. The kahanach yodos eino gomer dvarav lefarish neder. They don't complete his words to make the neder express specifically. Elo haschol b'yalma, it's a start, and mitocha, from saying this yad, such as mudrani mimcha, mufrishani, miruchani mimcha, so nikor shedaito lidor. So it's clear that he wants to make a neder over here. Umechashvinon le keilu gomar dvarav. It's if he said the whole thing. So that's what these are. These are the next part of the Mishnah is dealing with yodos. Then the Mishnah concludes and says that menuda aniloch, if a person used the lashon of menuda, a person who's in nidu, he's excommunicated. So if you use that lashon, I should be excommunicated from you. So Rabbi Akiva hayachochek bazeh, Rabbi Akiva would, so to say, scratch his head and not be clear whether this was a lashon or not of a proper neder, and therefore hayachochek bazeh wasn't sure. And they went lahachmir halacha maisa. If you look at the Likute Rashi, so he brings down that this kika adam shemischachech eloch ve'eloch. So it's a person like he's going back and forth, scratching his head. He's not certain over here, is this considered something that is definitely usur or not? We'll see later on the Gemara that this is the Mishnah gives his opinion, Rabbi Akiva. The Chacham disagree with Rabbi Akiva. And now we finish the Mishnah and we turn to Bey's Amud Beis. Again, there's a lot of rhymes here that we didn't go through, and that's going to be the way a lot of these daf are given, that they'll be relatively short because the Ron takes up so much space, and we're not going to be able to go through all of these Rons in great detail. So we turn to Beis Amud Beis with the start of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, we started off our Mishnah, Kol Kinunei Nedarim, Kinedarim. We said that if you used a word that sounds like the Neder itself, it sounds like the word carbon, you said koname, so then that would be a valid kinui to effectuate this nether. So the Gemara says, how come in Amasechta we listed all four of the examples? We said the kinuyim of nedarim, charemos, and then we said shavuos, and then we said naziris. So we listed all four and said all of the kinuyim are just like the Iker language. As opposed to, by Gabi Nazir, in Masechta Nazir, which is following Masechta Nedarim, Maishno Gabi Nazir, the Loktani Lulukulu. It doesn't mention all of them, it just mentions Nazir. It just says, as you can see in the top of the Farish, Dosum Tani, Kol Kinuyi Niziros. It just says that these are the Kinuyim of Niziros, or Kiniziros, Vesulamidi, and it doesn't say anything else. Lokitani Lukol Hani, the Nedarim Ushvuos. It doesn't give us over here Nedarim, Charemim, and Shavuos. So how come? That's the Gemara's question. Maishno gabi nedarim diktani lukulu, and maishno gabi nazir diloktani lukulu. So nazir doesn't have it, and nedarim does. How come? So Gemara says very simple teretz. Mishum dinederu shavua ksivi gabi hadadi. Because a neder and a shavua are both written together in the Torah. The pasuk says ish ki yidor neder lashem o hishava shavua. So therefore, in this situation, since you're mentioning both neder and shvur in the same pasuk, so therefore we had to list both of them. Tani tartin. You have to write kol kinuyei nedarim, and you have to write kol kinuyei shvus. Fine. Once you wrote two, but keep the tani tartin, you wrote these two, so tani lekul. So we write charemim and nazirus as well. Whereas by nazir, it's just nazir by itself, so therefore it doesn't have to list the other three. Gemara says, so then, based upon this, that Neder and Shavuah are written together, so then it should have been Neder was the first one in the Mishnah, and it should be the Shavuah is the second one in the Mishnah. How come you inserted Charemim before Shavuos? The list of Kinui Shavuos, Bos and Nedarim. You should have had first Kol Kinuyei Nedarim Nedarim, and then you should have said Kol Kinuyei Shavuos Shavuos. Why did you interrupt that focus, if you wish, with the word Kol Kinuyei Charemim Ki Charemim? The list of Kinui Shavuos, Bos and Nedarim, should have come second, not third. So he says, no. I did the Tana Nedarim, since we started off with Nedarim, which are the Mitzar Chevtzale. We pointed this out before, that a Neder asks an object, an item on you. It's a tangible item. The Mitzar Chevtzale, it makes that item also. You say, this item, this chair should be to me like a koname. Your table should be to me like a koname, should be like a carbon. So you're asking the Chevtzah itself, the item itself. So therefore, the same thing applies by Haramim. So therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana Nami Haramim, because that asks the Mitzah, Chevtza Alei. You're saying, this table should be a Chayrim, this chair should be a Chayrim, this goat should be a Chayrim. So therefore, it asks the item itself. As opposed to a Shvua, Lafuki Shvua, the Kosser Nashem in Chevtza. Person says, I will not eat this item. I will not go and do this action. So you're not answering a object, you're answering an action, or something that's not specifically associated with an item in and of itself. So therefore, that's the difference, and that's why we have Nedarim first, and then the Charemim, and then we go back to the Shavuos. Gemara says, okay, great. Pasach b'kinuyin, you first tell us, Kol kinuyei Nedarim, Nedarim, etc., etc. You go through the four categories, Nedarim, Charemim, Shavuos, and Nezirus. But then, you start telling us what yados are. So why do you go in that order? You should have explained the kinuyim first before you start telling me mufarish yados. As the Mishnah tells us. So why do we not go and first explain the kinuyim? Instead, you jump right in and explain the yados. And furthermore, v'su, yados inshe. What does that mean? That Tana seemed to forget to mention anything about the yados. So if you look in Tosos, and Dira Masa, Vesu Yodos, Inishay, Pirish, Bereisha, List Neyodos, Nedarim, Kinedarim. You should have first said that the Yodos of Nedarim are like Nedarim. Just like you said, the Kinuyim of Nedarim are like Nedarim. You should have said the Yodos of Nedarim are like Nedarim, and then explain what the Yodos are. And in the Pirish Rosh, in Dira Masa, Vesu Yodos, Inishay, you have a similar explanation. Kilomar, Shochacha Tana, Milishanosa, and Bereisha. It seems that the Tana forgot to tell us that there's this concept of yados before he starts telling us that these are the yados. And the Rosh continues and he says, the kivan, the parish lu b'mastisen, since he mentions in the Mishnah what these yados are, ha'ilul shanos and bereisha, he first should have said, there is yados. And by the way, these are what the yados are. V'lomar she'em kinedarim, and then teach us this din. So this is an unusual formulation. And the Rosh points out a very important idea for the Masechta. Uchayotze b'zeh b'shar duchte lishna de Talmuda yodos man dekar shmayu. We would find a similar type of a question raised elsewhere in other Masechtos, as we're saying, what in the world is this doing over here? Who mentioned anything about yodos that you're now telling me, and these are the yodos? So this would be something that we would describe as man dekar shmayu. Who mentioned this that you're now telling me about it? And the Rosh points out a very important principle that we have throughout Nedarim. El Shalosho Nedarim Mishuna. The redacting and the editing of Nedarim was not done in the same way as some of the other Masechtos, or many of the other Masechtos. And that's why we don't find some of the similar expressions and similar styles that we find in other Masechtos in Nedarim as well. In any event, he brings down another Girus as well, but this is the basic question over here. And the Gemara says, no, not a problem. I read Bahon. In fact, the Tana is dealing over here with these kinuyim and the chisuri mechzer of a harigtani. And this is the way you really have to learn the Mishnah. It's missing some pieces of the Mishnah. So you should read the Mishnah called kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, and it's missing this part, the yados nedarim kinedarim. And likewise, the yados of nedarim, these handles of nedarim, have the same halakha status as if it was a neder that was done in the perfect way. And then it tells us, and these are the yados. Shmuel says, okay, v'lifrosh kinuyim bereisha. So even in this situation, we started off by saying, kol kinuyim nedarim nedarim, and even if you say afterwards, v'kol yados nedarim kinedarim, but then you should first explain the kinuyim. Why did you jump in and start explaining the yados before you explain the kinuyim? Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem, because how the solik minei, how mefarish bereisha? Because this is a very common style. That's the second thing that you mentioned will be the one that explained first. So, for example, if the Mishnah tells us A and then it tells us B, so it can start then when it explains this A and B concept, it will first start explaining B and only later on go back to explain A. Because how the solik bin A, the thing that was mentioned last, how mefarsh bereisha is often the first one that you explain. So there's din A and there's din B. And then when you discuss it, we first discuss B, which is the last thing that you spoke about, and ultimately we go back to A. That's a stylistic explanation that the Gemara gives us. And the Gemara says, I'll give you many examples where this is exactly the case. So for example, kiditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah in Shabbos, famous Bameh Madlikin, Bameh Madlikin, right? We say this every Friday night in most Ashkenazic shuls. So Bameh Madlikin, with what are we allowed to use as Shabbos licht? Bameh Madlikin, and what type of materials and wicks? You're not allowed to use the Shabbos wicks. So of course, Bameh Madlikin v'chulei, we start off by saying that you're not allowed to light with these things. So you have Bameh Madlikin, that's A, Bameh Madlikin, that's B, and then you go and discuss Bameh Madlikin, B, and ultimately we go to what you can light with, A. So here's an example of this stylistic approach. Similarly, Bameh Tomnim, Bameh Tomnim. We also have in Shabbos, it says, what are you allowed to insulate with? Bameh Tomnim, Bameh Ein Tomnim. What are you not allowed to insulate with? And then the Gemara starts off and tells us, Ein Tomnim Uchule. It first starts off with telling us what you're not allowed to be doing Hatmono with. So again, this is A, B, and then B is explained first. Similarly, Bameh Yaisha Yotza, with what is a woman allowed to go out with on Shabbos? What type of jewelry is she allowed to go out to a Rishus HaRabim? And we are not concerned she'll take it off. And with what type of jewelry is she not allowed to go out with on Shabbos? So it says then, Lo Teitze Isha, she shouldn't go out. So again, this is A, B, and then we start explaining B. The Gemara says, V'kol Heicha DePosach Lo Mefarish Bereisha, is that really true? That wherever we open up with A, we don't explain A first, we always then explain B first. But I'll show you that that's not true. But nan, we have a Mishnah above a Basra where it says, Yesh Nochlin, there are those children that inherit, U'manchilin, and also they can go and cause other people to inherit from them. There are those that are Nochlin, they only inherit, but below Manchilin, but they don't cause other people to inherit. And then it starts off, it says, Ve'elu Nochlin U'manchilin. So here you have A and B, and we explain A first. So this goes against our Mishnah and the answer that we just gave in the Gemara. And we have other examples as well. Right? We didn't have this that long ago in Yevamos. There are those women that are permitted to their husbands, but would be forbidden to the husband's brother, to the Yavam, and vice versa. There are those that are mutaris levamehen. However, vasurus lebalein, there were those that would be permitted to the brother-in-law should their husband die chas v'shalom, without children. So they're permitted actually to the Yavam, but they actually were forbidden to their husband. And the Gemara in Yevamos gave us examples of which, and here the style is Ve'elu mutaris lebalein vasurus levamehen. So here you have A, and then you have B, and we explain A first. We say these are the categories of women who are mutaris to their husbands, but not mutar to the Yavam. So again, another situation of A and B, and then we first explain A. Another one, Yesh Tunos Shemen Levona. There are certain types of mincha karbanos, karban mincha, that requires oil and requires frankincense levona, but there are others that require only shemen oil v'lo levona, not frankincense. And the Mishnah there in Menachos then says Ve'elu Tunos Shemen Levona. It starts off by darshning A. So here we gave three examples where we had A first and then B, and we darshan B. And then we gave three examples now, where we had A first, and then B, and then we first darshaned A. And we have another one, a fourth example. Yesh tunos hagosha, there are certain types of korban mincha that have to be brought to the mizbeach, that's called hagosha. Yein tunos tenufa, but they don't have to be waved. And then there are those that only require tenufa, the waving, v'lo hagosha, they'll require hagosha. And then this Mishnah in Menachos tells us, the elu tunos hagosha. So here, again, you have A, B, and then we're farish first A, against what we gave. And we have one final last one. Yesh b'chor l'nachalo v'im b'chor l'kohen. There will be a child that will be the firstborn to its father, and he'll be the b'chor l'nachalo, but he won't be a b'chor l'kohen, but he won't be a pigeon of Ben, because this woman who the father has his first child with had previously given birth to in a different marriage. And then b'chor l'kohen, there is a child that will require pigeon haben. He's the firstborn child of this woman. However, ein b'chor l'nachla, but he's not the firstborn child to the husband, to his father, who had children from another wife. So therefore, in this situation, we have b'chor l'nachla, ein b'chor l'kohen. Then we say b b'chor l'kohen, ein b'chor l'nachla. And what does this Mishnah and Bechorahs then go, it tells us, the Ezu Bechor L'Nachalo, V'Yem Bechor L'Kohen. It darshins and explains A. So here we have the fifth and final example of where we have A, B, and we explain A, as opposed to the first couple of examples where it was A, B, and then we explain B. So where it says, you're right, Holein, but these are all because Mishum de Avshule, because in these scenarios, there was so much to explain over here. So mefarish hahu de posach bereisha. So we didn't want to leave anything out. It would easily be, since there was so much here to go and stress and state, so therefore we had to go when we said A, and then we said B, we wanted to go back to A because afsha, there's so much. So therefore, mefarish hahu de posach bereisha. So we explained first A because we don't want to miss anything. There's too much of a chance that we would miss something because it's so voluminous. Mor says, wait a second, is that really true? Baha, we have another situation in the Gemara in Shabbos where it says, Baha, Bameh, Behema Yotza, or Bameh, Eina Yotza. And what things is a Behema allowed to go and where, so to say, on Shabbos, and it's not considered a problem of the owner using his animal, or Bameh, Eina Yotza. And in what situations is the animal not allowed to go out? Now, that's just two things. Behema, yes, goes out, or behema ain't a yotza. So, the low option, there's not a lot of dinim over here, and nevertheless, uktani yotza gomo. So, it tells us the things that you are allowed to go out with. So, here's an example of A and B, and we still have A being explained first, even though there's not a lot of things to explain. So, that seems to contradict the answer that we just wanted to give. And we turn to Gimel Amud Aleph. Elul says, bottom line, lav dafka. this is a stylistic issue, and sometimes the Tana did the style in this way, and sometimes the Tana did the style in that way. El lav davka zimnim mefarish ha'o the pasuk bereisha. Sometimes we'll have A and B, and then we'll explain A first, and zimnim ha'o the solik mefarish bereisha. And sometimes it'll be A and then B, and then when you stop with B, you explain B, and then ultimately you go back and explain A. So it's a fielder's choice. This is a stylistic issue that sometimes we go into A, B, and explain B type of style, and sometimes we have A, B, and we explain A in that type of a style, and neither one is necessarily right or wrong, and therefore, it's not surprising that our Mishnah chose the style that it did, because it could have easily chosen the other way, but it chose this way. If you buy the same alternatively, we give another teretz. Alternatively, we could say Yados, when you're dealing over here with Yados, so the A and then B, and you're explaining the B over here, is because Haide, the Asyon Midrasha, we wouldn't have known specifically that Yados work, and therefore, Mefarish Lom Bereisha. So we're so excited, so to say, there's such a Chiddush over here, so therefore, it wants to go and Darshan and explain that first. As the Ran explains in the Ramasu Viboy Seima, he says, don't think for a second that our Mishnah just was, oh, sometimes it does a stall this way, sometimes it does a stall that way. He says, no. Lo tema chod minayu nokar. He just chose one of the two styles. Ela bedafka, specifically, ikdim yodos, we specifically had in our Mishnah A, B, and then darshan B, because mishum da asyun midrasha. Because this is very chaviv to us, because we learned out this concept of yodos, not from a beferish pasuk, but it's a drasha, and therefore it's very dear to us, and that's why we say it first. So Mori says, that's a great point, and therefore, if that's true, it's so chaviv to you, it's so dear to you, that this is a drasha, beliftach hadain bereisha. So you should have started off with this. And if it's so dear to you, why did you start off by saying, kol kinuye nedarim? Nedarim should have started straight off by telling us the din of the yados. Beliftach hadain bereisha. Why not do it that way? So the Gemara says, no, couldn't do that, because miftach pasa b'kinuyin. It had to open up with kinuyin, because doraisa, that's the din doraisa, and therefore bereisha, that's how it starts off. However, then, v'hod mefarish yados, the asyon midrasha. But then, once you're explaining it, so then we can explain the one that is not so clear, it's not so beferish, that came through a drasha, so it's okay to have in this situation the Doraisa item mentioned first, the Kol Kinuyim of Nedarim on Nedarim, and then to go through the Yados, which is a drasha, and therefore we want to darshan that first. Now this is a good break point. There will be more to discuss about this tomorrow, but this will be a good break point, and this concludes our first daf in this beautiful Masechta of Nedarim. Again, I encourage people to try to read a lot of the Rans on their own, if they possibly can, to give you a much more filled out understanding of what's going on in the Gemara. With this, we conclude today's share.